Good Sunday morning, and welcome to Hot Topics, a presentation of Hot 99.5's Community Affairs Department on Duval's Only R&B. Here's Julie Morgan.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Julie Morgan. Today, I'm joined by Dr. Lori Wright. She's the director of the Center for Nutrition and Food Security at the University of North Florida. We're talking about how to make sure we're teaching our children to eat nutritious meals, the food security of students, and the state of the center since we last spoke. Dr. Wright, welcome to the show.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Let's talk about nutrition. I know that's your favorite topic, right?
It is, absolutely.
And we're going to talk about nutrition starting at the beginning with children. What do parents need to teach their children about eating the right things?
It's the new year, and there's so many resolutions out there on changes that are people going to make. What I would say to parents is this is maybe a good opportunity to teach your child a good relationship with food and nutrition. Make it a positive change in the whole family and achieving some of these health goals that will stay with your children the rest of their life. But it has to start with a positive relationship with food and nutrition.
I like the way you put that, a relationship with food, because we could have a poor relationship with food.
And I think you see a lot of people as they get older that have weight issues and disordered eating, we might say, as a result of some of those poor relationships. They estimate that people that are obese, that there is at least a third have some disordered eating as a result of poor relationships. So we have to start very early in teaching and modeling a good relationship with food and your body.
Now, when you say very early, what do you mean?
We know that even as young as 2 years of age, when they're kind of coming off weaning from breastfeeding or formula, and we're introducing the complementary foods, that early diet sets the foundation for eating patterns for the rest of their life. So we used to believe that, we had till they were 4, 5, 6, but we actually know that foundation diet is established earlier. And that is a call out to parents about how important it is to teach them and to establish the best foundation diet possible.
So are you saying that we should introduce those good foods, those healthy foods to them at the age of 2?
Yes. It's the fruits, the vegetables, the whole grains. I think that's a great example. Most of us grew up on white bread, and then we tried to eat the wheat bread, the high fiber bread, and it's like, yuck. I mean, who would ever think of having, pizza on whole wheat crust? Because that's what we're used to, and those are the flavors that we acquired. Flavors are learned, taste is learned. So if we introduce the wheat bread, the whole wheat pizza crust, that they don't know any different, and we're teaching them about what tastes good and what is healthy.
Oh, that's interesting. I remember growing up, and actually it was the opposite for me, because my dad said that white bread was bad. He said that food with dye in it, that was really bad, and that was definitely off limits. So I grew up eating whole wheat bread, and now white bread, I can't do it. Nothing about it is tasty to me. So
what a great example of how your parents set that stage for healthy eating.
Now, I have other issues with eating. Like, I love ice cream, but that's a whole another story. So I think about this, and I look at people that have children, and they may say, well, I put Brussels sprouts or broccoli or what have you on their plate, and they say, ew, I don't want that. But they really haven't learned I don't like that.
And some of those early tastes, we have to help develop those tastes for things like Brussels sprouts. And so one thing I always say to parents is don't give up. We need to to keep trying again. One time, two times, we actually say, you know, even up to 10 before it becomes, you know, a food that is usual versus something new. So stay with it, reintroduce it, have them at least try a taste, and then we can, you know, go move on from there. But I think parents get discouraged for a number of reasons, or make a decision to stop. Oh, they just don't like Brussels sprouts. There's other ways. Getting them involved in the cooking process, letting them add maybe some time to the Brussels sprouts before you roast them. So involving them, and maybe give them a choice. So tonight, should we have broccoli or Brussels sprouts? What do you think? So that they have a say in some of the decision, they're involved in the process. Maybe they even helped at the grocery store pick out some of the foods and plan some of the meals. And then as you're introducing, keep introducing several times, have them just take one bite. Children often get overwhelmed with the portions that parents serve them. So parents will say, oh, they hated it. They only took a couple bites. Well, for a toddler, a couple bites is actually a portion. And so, when we make them eat those adult portions, we're actually even setting up a bad relationship with food. Because, you're not eating intuitively at that point. You're eating because my parents won't let me down from the table. They're forcing me to eat this whole portion. So that's what I talk about, that it is so much more than just a nutrient. It is a relationship with food.
Let's talk about portion sizes. What is a proper portion?
For the toddler preschooler, it's a fourth of an adult portion.
Oh, my.
So okay. Literally a couple bites of a sandwich, parents will serve an entire sandwich. A couple bites is probably about a fourth. I was really lucky. I had twins. So when we went out to to a restaurant and I got a kid's meal, they could split a kid's meal and get a more appropriate portion, you know?
And that's also, if we don't do that, that's also teaching them to overeat.
Right. So they're getting away from the internal cues to I'm full, I'm done, versus this is the amount I have to eat. That's required of me. And, some kids will be compliant and overeat. Others, you'll set up a battleground for, I'm not going to eat that. Yes, you are. You can't get down before you eat all that. You know, so really getting away from intuitive eating and a happy, healthy relationship with food. And then, is it any wonder that we have such a high prevalence of overweight and obesity, even in our children, when we are teaching them to eat a specific portion versus eat what their body tells them they need to eat.
Looking at this, and I think about the numbers I've seen in the past as far as living in the South, there are higher numbers for obesity in children, especially mm-hmm. living in Southern states.
Right, right. With the number of overweight and obese children, we're looking at about half of our children. Have that unhealthy body composition. And when you're overweight or obese as a child, it's harder to keep that weight off when you're older. And I'll go a little nutrition geek for you. Mm-hmm. But when you're a child, you actually increase the number of fat cells, Mm-hmm. So when you're an adult, you don't make more fat cells, but you expand the number of fat cells that you have. So if you go into adulthood with more fat cells already, it's going to be hard to keep that body composition down. So that's why, it's so this nutrition in childhood and a healthy weight is so critical.
What is the difference between overweight and obese?
It's just along the lines of where they are on the growth curve. If we're still charting them on the growth curve. So they're at 90% percentile for their weight compared to other children, average children, then they're considered overweight. And then when we get to 95th percentile, so they weigh more than 95 out of 100 of their peers, and that is actually considered obese for a child.
What role does genetics play in this?
Genetics is a part of it. Certainly, you know, the way we carry weight, our bone structure, our metabolism, all of those have a genetic predisposition, but it doesn't mean it is your final destination. You can do so much with whether or not you become overweight by what you eat or what your exercise patterns are. And we are entering a time where they're looking at nutrition at a genetic level, and that you may have a genetic predisposition to a certain cancer. But certain foods can either turn on or turn off that gene. So, you know, it isn't inevitable. You still have a big role to play in the lifestyle choices that you make. And for our children, the lifestyle that we teach them.
Hot 99.5, keeping you up to date with what's happening in the community. This is Hot Topics on Hot 99.5.
Feeding off of what you just said, the lifestyle that we teach them, so then we need to understand it ourselves.
Yes, yes. And you know, it's simple changes that a family can do. Instead of everybody gathering around after dinner and binge watching a TV show for hours, how about go out for a walk or a bike ride together as a family? It's a wonderful time to talk about the day and what's going on. Especially as they start to get into those tween and teen years, they'll come home from school and you'll say, "How was your day?" "Fine." It often takes time for them to then actually share. So family meals are critical. They play such an important role. We know that a family that dines together eats more nutritiously. Children have healthier body weights. And there's less mental health issues. So it goes beyond just the meal, just the nutrition. It has so many important roles in the family. And I would argue that family exercise is also important. So if you could bike or walk together or go out to the beach and kayak together, or even supporting them if they're playing soccer, encouraging them and being there to support them in other exercise activities.
So when you say exercise, you're not talking about, okay, everyone, let's just go to the gym and get on the treadmill. No, we're talking about some physical activity, things that they will be happy with, things that are fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Get back to the basics of going for a walk, playing football when the family gets together, play a little tag football, or they're throwing a softball in the backyard. It can be very, very simple. Getting activity into your life and having that time with your family. Isn't that one of the biggest complaints that working parents have, is we don't have enough time together? That's kind of a forced way of coming together for health reasons, but also so much more.
And starting this early, they won't complain as much as they get older and say, "I don't want to do this." You know, you got to start early with it.
You do, and you're modeling. You're modeling the behaviors that they're going to carry with them. What about if you park at the back of the parking lot and walk into the mall
instead of driving around for the closest parking space?
Exactly. Or you take the stairs instead of the elevator. You're modeling that active lifestyle. What about if your next family vacation has some physical components like hiking or swimming? You know, think about what message you're sending. And again, an opportune time. If that message isn't as positive as you'd like, you have an automatic support system to work with your family to achieve these health goals.
So what if someone says, I really don't know where to start. I wasn't taught this. And so we're expected to teach our children this. Where do I start? What can I do?
Well, always start with a registered dietitian. We can help individualize a plan for the person, the family, based on what their goals are, what factors they have going on in their life. If they travel a lot, how can you travel and still eat healthy? They have classes at the Y for parents about child nutrition and taught by registered dietitians. That's a great place to go for the classes and maybe some physical activity together. I love when I see families coming in together and maybe they're doing different activities within, but it is something that is valued by that family and it's a shared experience.
Before we wrap up here, I know the last time I spoke to you, it was right after President Clinton came in and you guys opened the center. You got to give me an update.
Well, the UNF Center for Nutrition and Food Security is doing so well. We have taken that initial model of recovering food and repackaging it into healthy meals that then is distributed to the Northeast Florida AIDS Network, to Sulzbacher, Lutheran Social Services, and now most recently to Linda Wing, which is our on-campus food pantry. We're delivering meals there too. In almost 2 years now, we're getting close. Food Fighters has delivered over 13,000 meals to members of our community that have that need for that have hunger and food insecurity. That program has been so wonderful that now we have spun off another program. Mm-hmm. It's called Meals on Wings. About a year ago, I was at a senior hunger action coalition, and I heard that over 1,000 seniors, homebound seniors in Jacksonville, are on a wait list for Meals on Wheels because of funding issues and such. And I said, there's something I can do about this. So we've partnered with Baptist Medical Center. We go and recover unused food that they are preparing. We bring it back and package it into a healthful meal. But instead of going to an agency that case managers pass out, instead, our student volunteers, our college students that volunteer twice a week, they actually deliver to the homes of these seniors that can't get out. We started last summer, and I'm happy to say we have provided over 1,000 meals to homebound seniors that wouldn't have gotten those meals. So that's just one area that the Center for Nutrition and Food Security, we're also doing some food as medicine classes mm-hmm. for those that are food insecure and have diabetes, have HIV. We're teaching nutrition, cooking skills, mm-hmm. and providing some healthy meal baskets, partnering with Feeding Northeast Florida. We're doing several of these nutrition education and food programs, food as medicine.
That's interesting. So Meals on Wings, obviously UNF, Osprey, right?
Yep.
Okay. So how does that help the seniors? Because it seems like it's twofold, right? Mm-hmm. They get the food. They also get a little bit of human connection as well.
We've probably stolen this tagline from Meals on Wheels nationally, but we believe very strongly that this is more than a meal. As I even said with children, it goes beyond just the food. Those students are making connections. We have long-term volunteers, and so they make a connection with those seniors. And sometimes that student volunteer is the only person they'll see in a day. They have been taught how to do a safety check to make sure that there's no issue. We did have one student that was delivering a meal saw that the senior was in crisis and called the ambulance because they were having breathing difficulties. So it's a safety check, it's a social connection, and it's meals. As it, you know, in a university, we do research what programs we do. So we are studying the impact, nutritional impact, the socialization impact on the seniors, but also the students, that intergenerational bond. I will tell you one little story. One of the gentlemen on one of the routes, he can't speak. He had a stroke. He can't speak. But it is so meaningful to him that these students are coming and bringing him nice meals that he always has an ice cream treat for them to send them off. So it's just, you know, it's making a difference for our seniors.
Oh, wow. And making a difference for the students as well.
Absolutely. Wow.
That's nice. So tell me this. We've talked about nutrition, and this kind of just popped in my head. What do you teach the students about their own nutrition? Because, I mean, the freshmen 15, 20, 30, I mean, it could be a lot. You know what I mean? They may not have been taught before they got to UNF. What do you teach them about eating healthy? Because it affects everything. It affects their studies, which could lead to, you know, down a bad road.
Right.
What do you teach them?
Well, and, you know, it's sometimes the first time they've been on their own. Mom's not making the meals, the healthy meals. They get to choose. So they can just as easily choose French fries and pizza versus the salad bar and salmon, you know. So there's a lot that we do at the university from the cafe. The Chartwells has healthy choices that they've marked for them. So it kind of helps with signage and, you know, some posters and things like that. It helps them understand that these are better choices. We also have several dietitians on campus that do classes and can meet with the students individually. So really trying to help them in this new environment of making choices and what are the better. We do have a growing recognition nationwide of some of our students that are food insecure, that don't have enough. Sometimes with, you know, at the beginning of the semester, they get financial aid, but they start running out. And we know if you're not nourished, you won't learn well. So the campus now has Linda Wing, which is a pantry that students can go and pick up food. And now we're happy to say we're adding the nutritious meals to their choices too. So you know, it's a complex time of you know, they're learning, and they're learning about nutrition and their the choices, but we also want them to be successful in avoiding overnutrition as well as making sure we meet their needs for food.
Okay, so Linda Wing is where they can go.
It's the pantry.
It's the food pantry. Mm-hmm. And then you're also going to repackage some meals for them as well?
Yep, we deliver meals that we've packaged from the cafe with Food Fighters, and we take some of the meals over for the students as well.
Anything else you'd like to add just to make sure that we understand how important it is to have a good relationship with food?
You know, they say so many of the chronic diseases that up to half are predetermined by our nutritional patterns. Food truly is medicine. We can prevent, even if we have a genetic predisposition, we can prevent a disease or obesity from occurring. We can manage it if it does occur, and really live the best life possible using food as our medicine.
Dr. Wright, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank
I really
you.
Appreciate it.
It's a pleasure.
Thanks again for joining us today on Hot Topics. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Hot Topics on Hot 99.5. Hot Topics is a presentation of Hot 99.5's Community Affairs Department. For more information about the program you just heard, visit myhot995.com, then click on Hot Cares. And join us again next Sunday morning at 6:30 a.m. for another edition of Hot Topics on Duval's only R&B, the new Hot 99.5.